See everyone here this morning. We are in our second of 2 weeks of our fall mission emphasis, and we've been talking about the theme of obedience, the heart of missions. The heart of missions is obedience, and we've been looking at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Last week I spoke on the fact that missions starts at home. Missions starts at home. The point being that each local church should have as its primary focus a local vision based upon the Great Commission of Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go, take your Bibles if you're not already there, and take a look at that passage. Our message today is just focused and centered upon these verses. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This commands you and me to go and make disciples. Missions starts at home. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you may be familiar that Jesus told those who would be in the church, His disciples, His followers, that they would be witnesses. The question is, are you going to be a good witness or a poor witness? You shall be witnesses unto Jerusalem, there's the home. You will be witnesses at home to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there you have, again, the influence of the gospel should go around the world. But each local church should have not just a vision for their community, but also a global vision when it comes to making disciples. And there will be those whom God chooses out from the local church, the local ministry, to provide for disciple-making of all nations. And these individuals are commonly called what? Missionaries. And missionaries, I'll tell you what, they're to be commended. Our missionaries are to be honored. They're to be commended and honored for their sacrifice and service for the Lord. Oftentimes, missionaries throughout the ages have sacrificed the comforts of home. You think of doctors who could have had, quote-unquote, lucrative careers here at home and just a comfortable lifestyle. Or maybe a businessman who could do just the same. Lucrative career, comfortable lifestyle. But they have given of their lives for something greater, the gospel. And they're to be commended for such sacrifice and service, giving up the comforts of home, the security of family ties, personal health and well-being, have given even their lives for the cause of Christ and the spread of the gospel. Who can forget the account of Jim Elliott and his colleagues, Ed McCauley, Roger Udurian, Pete Fleming, and their pilot, Nate Saint, who desired to reach the Horani people of Ecuador, also called the Alca people. They're Alca meaning savage. They were a tribe of indigenous people in Ecuador. And after several months of contact with the people, they were killed while attempting to communicate the gospel. All five of these men. Later, however, many in that village came to Jesus for salvation. And in his journal entry on October 28, 1949, he says that his belief that his work dedicated to Jesus was more important than his life itself. Luke 9:24, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And he goes on in his journal and he says, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Wow. You know, you think about that and you think of missionaries like that who gave their life so that others may know of salvation. Wow, that's to be honored, that's to be commended and thanked. In 1962, Don and Carol Richardson risked their lives to share the gospel with the Sawi people of New Guinea. How many, are there any who have read the book Peace Child? Anyone here read the book Peace Child? Okay, there are a couple, three of you, four of you maybe. Peace Child, I encourage you to get a copy of this book. It is phenomenal. It's an account of Don and Carol Richardson in 1962 who risked their lives to share the gospel with these people, the people, Sawi people of New Guinea. And Peace Child, the book, tells of their unforgettable story of living among the headhunters and cannibals who valued treachery through fattening their victims with friendship before they would slaughter them. And God gave Don and Carol the key to the Sawi's hearts by way of a redemptive analogy from their own mythology, the mythology of the Sawi people, the Peace Child. And the Peace Child became the secret to unlocking a value system that existed in their culture throughout generations. And this analogy became the stepping stone by which the gospel came into the Sawi culture and started both a spiritual and social revolution from within. Wow! Think about that. Here is a couple, and as you read the book, you find out they had a child, and they took this child into this, what we would call, miserable environment. All because they wanted to share Christ. Wow. You know, just praise God for people who are called to do such, to willing to give of themselves and sometimes even of their lives to share Christ. So we have those examples throughout history of missionaries who are willing to do that. You think of some biblical examples. Think of Jonah. Now, Jonah, in the technical terms, was a missionary. He was called to go to Nineveh. Now, he didn't want to do it, but God had a way of working to change his mind. And he went to Nineveh, and that whole city turned to the Lord. He was truly a missionary. Think of Peter. God called him to go to the Gentiles, go to Cornelius, and share the gospel. I wouldn't have contact with Gentiles. No, God told him, you need to go. And he went and shared with Cornelius. And the gospel went into the Gentile nations. And God called Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries to the Gentiles specifically. And Paul, in speaking in contrast to false teachers in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you're welcome to check me out there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, speaking of false teachers, he says, are they servants of Christ? And then he goes on and he says, I'm out of my mind to talk like this, but are they servants of Christ? I am more. Paul writing, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Wow. You know, Paul, a New Testament missionary, gave of himself so that others may know. And we commend and we admire and we pray for and we support and we praise God for our missionaries who are willing to give of themselves to do just that. That'd be a good place for an amen. That was pretty weak. Be a good place for an amen. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, all that being said, missionaries have the same responsibility that every believer has in his or her local context, through his or her local church, to make disciples. And the tendency of the church has been to glamorize or romanticize the work of missions. Honor them, yes. Praise God for them, yes. Support and pray for them, absolutely. There are some who even viewed missions in a mystical fashion, as if missions were to accomplish something different or something more than that which the church was commissioned to accomplish. And I say that not in criticism of missions at all, but rather to cause the local church, to cause you and me here at FBC to consider the impact that we are making on our local community and our area here. There are those who seem to think that if we heavily support missions beyond the home front, that we are fulfilling the Great Commission. And I say, that's not the case necessarily. If we simply give to foreign missions, they have their responsibility to make disciples. The local church body, each member has the responsibility that that missionary has, as we talked about last week. And that is to make disciples. The question is, are you effective in making disciples here at home as well as in the cultures of the world? This week's message is built upon last week's, as we must be all about the matter of making disciples here on the home front. And this week, as well as the cultures of the world. The key word in all of this is, as we look at our missions philosophy that we've worked on so diligently here in recent days, and it's nothing new. It's that which we have thought through biblically and looked through as pastors and deacons, and we said, you know what, this is what we believe, and we've put it into print. And the key word that we bring out in this is balance. I get concerned that we expect or hope our missionaries to do more than we are able or willing to do. We expect our missionaries to have an impact on their respective cultures for Christ. And we get, oh yes, man. And we evaluate our missionaries. We say, man, if they're not out there winning souls and they're not planting churches and they're not doing the work, then we're not getting much for our missionary dollar. But that ought to be the case right here. That must be a point of evaluation for you and me as we ask ourselves, are we having an impact on our culture for Christ? Are you having an impact on your neighborhood, at your workplace, in your school, in your community for Christ? Interesting. I'm going to say something here that you might raise your eyebrow over. And that is, the word mission or missionary is not mentioned in the Bible. Can I see your eyebrow go up? The word mission or missionary is not mentioned in the Bible. I did find it once in the Old Testament in one version over a military mission. But that doesn't have anything to do with missionaries, right? So if you check me out and say, oh, I found it, you know, yeah, there is one, but it's a military mission. They had a mission, a military mission. But missions or missionary are words that we have chosen to describe the function of making disciples. And most often we use those words to describe the function of disciple makers who work beyond the local ministry. They're missionaries. When we think of a missionary, we think of someone like Dick Snook, who goes beyond the local. And he was a missionary pilot who flew to Haiti and areas in the Bahamas, Caribbean. You think of our missionaries, Dan and Rachel, the Lewises, and they're over in Ethiopia. We think of missionaries in that way. But as I mentioned, the matter of balance. The key word is balance. And I believe balance is a key issue regarding the whole discussion of making disciples. And our desire to fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, to go into all the world and make disciples, we must make sure that we're giving a balanced effort to do so, both here at home as well as beyond the home front. Now, balance is a tricky concept. I don't believe that balance means that we give the same time and resources to efforts abroad that we must give to efforts here at home. But balance in the sense of prioritization. By the way, when you think of missionaries and the their needs, they can appeal to a very broad base. You think of American missionaries, they go to other cities, other churches in other cities, other individuals, even businesses to raise funds to support them regarding their mission. When we think of a local mission, our responsibility here to make disciples, we draw from the resources that you and I have. We don't go to people or businesses or other churches beyond to accomplish what we believe God wants us to do. That's why faithful giving of God's people here at FBC is so important for us to accomplish our work of making disciples here. So we're not talking about giving the same time and resources, but rather balance in the sense of prioritization. And if you get a tire out of balance, it starts to wobble. We don't want to start wobbling, do we? So our local efforts of making disciples must be our priority. Our local efforts of making disciples must be our priority. Home, our home, our community is where our immediate attention to making disciples must lie. Again, if we are not making disciples, and if we're not effective in doing so, then how can we expect our missionaries to do what we're not doing? Making disciples here at home takes time, it takes attention, it takes finances, it takes material resources. And so as we are effective in making disciples here at home, then we are effective. We are then able to be effective in our support of missions beyond the home front. Again, as we look at missions beyond the home front, priority attention must be given to those who are directly involved in making disciples. Disciple makers, church planters are on the front lines. I think of the Richardsons with the Sawi people there in New Guinea, years ago, but they were breaking ground. They were on the front lines with the sole purpose of seeing people come to Christ and establishing a church. They're on the front lines accomplishing that task. I'll never forget one of our supported missionaries, Ed Lewis. Ed was a phenomenal communicator and gifted individual. He tragically lost his life in a car accident here in the States. But he was a missionary to Germany and beyond. And just an amazing individual. But he came to one of our mission emphasis, and we had a banquet in the gymnasium. And the question posed to him was, how do missionaries do it? What do they do? And he says, and he pulls up a chair, and he says, well, and he had two or three of us sit down, and he says, you know, you go to the laundromat, and you sit down, you have all your clothes in the washer, dryer, and you sit in the laundromat, and you watch your clothes go round and round and round and round and round and round. And you're sitting next to somebody, and you strike up a conversation with them, and then you start talking to them, building a bridge to them and say, hey, how would you like to come over to our house? We're new to the area. We're trying to get to know people. How'd you like to come over to our house for some coffee or hot chocolate, tea or whatever they drink in that culture? And so they invite them over and they have them over and they start talking about life and so on. And then they say, start talking about God, start talking about the Bible and say, hey, how would you like to come back again next week or however long it has taken to build that relationship and have a Bible study with us? And so then he says, we go back to the laundromat and we sit down. We put our laundry in the washer and the dryer and we watch it go round and round and round and round. And we start talking to another person who sits next to us and say, hey, how would you like to come over to our house? We're trying to get to know people. And we'd like to have you over for coffee or something, hot chocolate, tea or whatever they drink in that culture. And then they invite him to a Bible study, and then they have this Bible study, and the Bible study grows, and it becomes a church. People get saved, they get baptized, they get added to the church. And so, that's what missionaries do. guess what? That's what you and I are supposed to do. And that was the essence of His message and His challenge to you and me. Yes, missionaries go and they plant churches and they see people come to Christ and they get them baptized and they plant a church. Yes. But that's what we are supposed to do as we go about our everyday tasks, whether it's in the laundromat, whether it's at Walmart, whether it's at Meijer, whether it's at the bank or across the fence in the backyard. As you go about your everyday activities. Now, there are others who are serving in various capacities around the world in support roles. This comes back to balance. Their roles are important. We have pilots like Dick Snook. It's like, wow, I just thought about this, and he would probably be embarrassed for me to say this, but he's a pilot. And, you know, there are some pilots who have lucrative careers in piloting. And he chose to be a missionary, a support missionary, for many years. But we have pilots like Dick Snook, who is with us today. We have mechanics. We have secretaries. There are Bible translators, financial consultants, administrators, teachers, computer geeks, and so on. Again, all playing a very important role in missions. Dick Snook said that someone said he was the glue, that MFI as an organization was the glue that kept them on the field. And that's what support missionaries do. However, I do not believe that they require the same priority. Now, let me explain. Let's say you have a compound, or it used to be called a missions compound. Now, sometimes they're called campuses. But you have builders who come in and they build buildings. They build houses, they build apartments, they build offices, perhaps a clinic or a hospital. They build even church buildings. So you have builders. They come in, and we would call them support missionaries because they have they support the missionary in helping the missionary get the job done. But let's say you have the builders come in and build, and then you have maintenance workers who maintain the facility and grounds. You have mechanics who take care of the vehicles. You have secretaries who take care of reception and paperwork and office tasks and the like. You have an administrator who oversees the workings of the compound or the campus. Now, you could have all of this taking place, and it can function very well as a compound or a missions campus organization. However, if you do not have someone who is willing to go outside the compound preaching the Word of God, seeing souls come to salvation through our Lord Jesus, making disciples, which, by the way, everyone in the compound ought to be doing that with the relationships they build with local people. But if you don't have someone who is out there planting, seeing people come to Jesus, then the compound is just a compound of busyness, or as we might call it, a commune. Each person in the compound must see their role in supporting the church planter who is on the front lines. Again, I think of the Richardsons those years ago. They had to be flown in to the Sawi people. They were so remote. They had to be flown in, and then they had to get on a boat, and they had to go down. Someone had to provide the boat and the means for them to get where they were, and they had some help in building their makeshift hut and so on. And so there were those support people, but they were on the front lines. Certainly, the support personnel enhance and enable the church planter to be more effective and less distracted by the inner workings. Could you imagine if a missionary to Haiti had to be a pilot and had to be a builder and had to be a mechanic and do all of that? No, the support people help them, enable them to get on the field and stay on the field. But without the church planter, all you have are inner workings. Now think about it. We could have the same thing happen right here at FBC, couldn't we? We could have all the support. We could have secretaries, custodians, groundskeepers, committees, programs, structures, kids' programs, and the like. All kinds of activities. But if we forget our purpose, our raison d'etre, our reason for being, our reason to be here, if we forget our commission to make disciples, then we could become just a compound of busyness, or as we might look at it, a country club. Right? And it's all about us, and we would not be effective. And how sad would that be? All that being said, we want to make sure that our efforts of making disciples here at home and around the world are in line with the biblical mandate set forth in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. All missionary endeavors at home and beyond should be evaluated against the priority of and the whole matter of making disciples. We must not support a missionary simply because they're good speakers or good preachers or because they're likable or simply because they're good friends. We must make sure that any endeavor here at home or beyond reflect our doctrine, our values, as well as our priorities. And so we have put our mission philosophy in print. I don't think there should be anything new to you. It's just a clarification. Here's what we believe. And they're available to you after the service. We'll have the ushers have those available for you. You can pick it up and look at it. But you've heard most of it last week and this week. And then we evaluate our missionaries and our missionary endeavors, our opportunities in light of these principles. And that's taking place right now. We're looking at our mission. Say, are we out of balance? And what do we need to do? And if it's out of balance, what do we need to do to get it in balance? And so the emphasis is balancing our priorities. But the bottom line is that the focus of missions is the Great Commission. And obedience to that end is the key. That's the key to missions. I'd like to close by having you turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And God is, through Peter, is speaking to you and me. And he says this about believers, those who have placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. By the way, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. We want to see you. That's our message. We want to see you come to Christ. But if you have, for those many of you who have trusted Christ, in 1 Peter 2, 9, he's speaking to you and he says, but you are a chosen race, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And that would be another place for a good amen. You are chosen by God. You are His possession. But look at the next phrase. The idea here is so that you are chosen so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Did you get that? He has called you in part and in large part based on this verse to proclaim His excellencies. To tell others about the praiseworthiness of our great God. We don't want to hoard it. Yes, we're chosen, but we want others who are chosen to come to Him in salvation. And we want to proclaim His excellencies. Amen? That's why He's called you. That's why He has chosen you. And so we need to be busy about the business of making disciples here at home as well as throughout the cultures of the world. Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, how humbling it is to know that you have chosen us to be your ambassadors as we go throughout our lives. And I pray that each one would take this to heart. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I had someone come up to me after the early service and they say, you know what? I've been trying to do that. I met someone at the store, and I go to that store regularly, and I've built a friendship, I've built a relationship, and this individual went through some difficult times, and I told them that I was praying for them, and I'm just looking for the opportunity to build that bridge, continually build that bridge, so that one day I might see that individual come to Jesus. Are you doing that? I just encourage you to think about, to be, as we said last week, intentional about your relationships, that you might see people come to Jesus. Sure, invite them to church. You may be nervous about sharing the gospel and so on. If you don't start anyplace else, start with inviting people to church. Say, hey, we've got some good things going over there at FEC, and I want you to hear that. I don't know how God may have spoken to you through His Word, but I just encourage you to fill out a communication card. If it's personal and private, check for pastors only. And but jot down there how God may have spoken to you. There may be someone here today who says, you know what, I want to go. I want to be a missionary to Papua New Guinea or to Germany or to India or to China. I want, God has been working in my heart, and He has given me a burden to go beyond the culture here.